We're looking, Luke. Is it live? Are we doing it live? Sick. Appreciate you. Okay. Welcome to Skyline Church. Pumped to see a few new faces tonight. And this is before we're even public. You guys have backstage passes right now. It's crazy. So at the end of this month, in October, is when we open up life groups and Sunday services, basically just to whoever. One day we'll have a website, Lord willing. I'm working on that as we speak. But yeah, we're about to have, right now we have one life group, we're about to have two. And this is kind of the end of us meeting at random times. For the most part, going forward, we'll be at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. So just that by way of announcements. And I want to dismiss the kiddos for Kiddos Church. Thanks, guys. Joni and Lydia are doing it tonight, but a couple of you other guys have volunteered, which we really appreciate, because every Sunday we have two volunteers, because right now, well, we have four kids, but right now there's just three. So, okay, so let me, before, I'm super pumped about what we're going to talk about tonight, so but before we do, let me pray. Lord, thank you for a beautiful day. Thank you for fall. October, best month, Jesus, thank you for it. Lord, we ask that you would bless this time in your word and the number of texts that we're going to be in tonight. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would open our hearts for what you have for us. I pray that you would help me speak what is right and true of you, God. What is right and true of you, and that you would lead us into what you have for us, God. We want to live the fullest life with you, Lord. We don't want less of you. We want more of you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so a big part of our lives is discerning our purpose. Your purpose is like a huge part of what you do and why you do it, right? It's like the rudder. It's the jet that steers where you go and why you go. It's hard, for one, to figure out what that is, but then what's harder is actually doing it. Let's say you finally, okay, here's my gifts. Here's my place in life. Here's what God's called me to do. Here's the type of people that God's called me to make disciples of. Here's the person I'm going to marry. Here's where I'm setting sail. Once you figure some of this stuff out as the years go by, then it's harder. Because, man, how are we supposed to live as a godly woman, as a godly man, to reach a city like Denver, to reach a campus when so many people are uninterested, to work hard unto the glory of God, to provide for our families and to be a light in our workplace, to use the gifts God has given us, to put sin to death. I mean, there's so much in the Christian life that God calls us to do, and it's daunting. It's daunting, and when we don't achieve those things, when we fall short, it can be depressing, and it can be sad, and it can just put you down a little bit. It can put you down a little bit. But the awesome thing is that Christianity is a team sport, okay? But it's also supposed to be a team sport with God. I'm not talking about the Father. I'm not talking about the Son. I'm talking about the one in the Trinity, in the Godhead, who doesn't get talked about that often, the Holy Spirit. That's who I'm talking about. The Christian life is supposed to be a team sport with the Holy Spirit, the one who literally resides in you. The one of, Jesus literally said, it's better for me that I go, because then you'll get the helper. It's better for you that I go, so that the helper may come. That's quite a statement from the God of the universe. It's better for me to go to heaven rather than just be me, one Jesus, walking around the earth. It's better for me to go and send the Spirit into the hearts of every believer than that. Super, super strong words from Jesus. The Spirit is the one that makes the impossible possible. He's the one that brings fruit to the barren wasteland. He's the one that parts the sea, splits the sky, and makes a way where there was no way. The Spirit of God, we're meant to live our lives and do ministry alongside and empowered by God's Spirit, not on our own, not on our own. To which you might ask the reasonable question, how do I do that? How do I live life and do ministry with God's Spirit? The stakes are high. The stakes are high. What do you want to see? Do you want to see the glory of God poured out in an incredible way? Or do you not? Do you want to see the power and amazingness of who God is? Do you want to see that in your life 3 out of 10, or do you want to see it in your life 10 out of 10? The Spirit of God is central to this. Do you want to receive and see more than you could ask or imagine, or just what you could accomplish on your own? Because the Spirit of God is what that depends on. The Spirit of God is what that depends on. So we're going to be in a couple different texts tonight, because I just want to paint you guys a sort of biblical mosaic of what the Spirit of God does when he comes alongside the people of God, okay? So I got three things. Here's the first thing, ready? God has always given his Spirit for the work of ministry. I'm going to start in the Old Testament, and I'm going to show you in the New Testament too. But God's actually always done this. He did it in a limited way in the Old Testament and in a more full way in the New Testament. When I say ministry, this is one of these like stupid Christian words, right? Ministry, sweet. We say that all the time. It's useless to me. What does that mean? Okay. The other easy way to translate the word ministry is just service. So I'm talking about God has always given his Spirit for ministry. God has always given his Spirit for the work of service. What do I mean by that? I mean you loving your brother and sister. I mean you making disciples. I mean you working to provide for your family, bring glory to God. I mean you being generous. This is service. This is kingdom work. That's ministry, okay? And it's all of us. It's not just people that happen to be paid for it vocationally. In fact, arguably, the people that aren't paid for it vocationally are more central to ministry than those that are. Because the people that are supposed to equip the people who aren't paid to do ministry vocationally to go and do ministry service in the world. Okay? So thing number one, God has always given his Spirit for ministry. So here's the first text for this. Ready? Numbers 11, 16 through 17. I'm going to be moving quick. So if you can track with me. Otherwise, I'm just going to read it here. Numbers 11, 16 through 17. Here's the context. Okay? This is Moses. He's taken the Israelites out. They're in the desert. Okay? And it's not going well. Moses is so frustrated, so done, so overworked, that he literally says to God, if this is going to be like this, then just freaking kill me now. He literally says that to Yahweh. And then God does something. Numbers 11, 16 through 17 says this. Then the Lord said to Moses, gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you. And I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take some of the Spirit that is on you and put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you may not bear it yourself alone. Problem with Moses. God comes up with a solution, and his solution is a plurality of leadership whereby he takes his Spirit that he's put on Moses to lead and puts it on other people to go and do the same thing, which empowers them to do stuff that they couldn't do before. It's the same Spirit that's in us as believers today that went on them. And it was for Moses to not bear it alone. Okay, here's the second text. 1 Samuel 16, 12 through 13. Here's the context here. Okay, Saul, King Saul, the first king of Israel, he's severely disobeyed God multiple times, such to the point where God has said, I'm removing my kingship from you. I'm removing my presence from you. I empowered you for the work of ministry because the Spirit actually falls on Saul too. And now he's saying, because you've walked away from me, I'm taking the kingdom from you. And so then he picks David. And so this text, 1 Samuel 16, 12 through 13, is when David is being anointed by the prophet Samuel to become king. Calls him out from the sheepfold. Is there no other brothers here? God's saying it's none of these brothers. Is there not any other one? Oh yeah, there's one out there keeping the sheep. Bring him in. Brings him in. And this is what happens. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Okay? The Spirit of God rushes on King David to do what God has called him to do. And he goes on to do bananas things, guys. If you know the story of David, I mean, shortly after this, he's probably a teenager at this point. Shortly after this, he kills this massive Philistine called Goliath. And what I want you to see here is that the only reason he could kill Goliath is because he had a cheat code, dude. He had the Spirit of God that had rushed upon him. David could kill. The dude's probably like 5'8". Goliath's like 9 feet. He has no chance. In fact, I'm convinced that the only reason God had David throw the stone that hit Goliath in the forehead that killed him is so that he could build David's confidence. Like, I'm convinced. I mean, David could have stood there and just been like, How dare you challenge God? And the Spirit could have just given him a heart attack. Game over, right? David has the Spirit of God now. Everything is different. Everything is different for David. He's been empowered by God for the work of ministry. And David's ministry is to be king, to serve God's people, to do justice, to honor God, to worship God. This happens multiple times in the Old Testament. There's several other examples that I could go into. God goes with his people and gives them his Spirit for the work of ministry. And again, ministry, that word just means service. That's what it means. It applies to all of us. But the Old Testament is just the beginning. It comes sporadically, the Spirit, maybe a dozen people in the Old Testament, comes sporadically. But what's so awesome is in the Old Testament, it actually prophesies, the day is going to come when I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh, on all people that call on my name. It prophesies that probably half a dozen times. Enter the New Testament. Enter the New Testament. Enter the one who brings the Spirit. Luke 3, 21 through 22. This is Jesus, okay? This is Jesus at his baptism. This is what it says. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus had also been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." So you have to understand the timeline here. Jesus has been growing up, carpenter's son. John the Baptist starts to prepare the way. Jesus hasn't done anything yet. The first thing that happens is he gets baptized by John, and the Spirit falls on him. And then he sets the world on fire. Then he goes out and starts healing. Then he gathers disciples. Then he teaches with authority. Then he just explodes onto the scene. And it's so, so important for us to see that the first thing that happened was the Holy Spirit came upon him in power. And, like shepherd, like sheep, what happens with Jesus happens with his disciples, happens with his followers. At the end of Jesus' ministry, Luke 24, 49, look what happens. Jesus says, "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." So Jesus is about to leave. He's about to ascend back into heaven. And he tells the disciples, okay, that thing I've been telling you about, the helper, he's coming. Don't go anywhere. Wait. Wait for the Holy Spirit to come. This is what he says to his disciples. So significant. Hang on, guys. The real power is coming. You just need to wait, okay? And then Acts, also written by Luke, Acts 1, 4 through 8, says something similar. Look what he says. "And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed on his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.'" Same message. Wait, guys. Just a little bit longer. Wait for the helper to come. Wait for the Holy Spirit to come. Because then you're not just going to be my witnesses. You're going to be my witnesses with my power. The Spirit is going to supercharge your work for me. Now, I want to make a distinction here. Okay? The Old Testament says that God's going to send his Spirit on all flesh. Okay? So there's two things working here with the Spirit in the New Testament. The first is salvation. Okay? The Spirit is a part of you getting saved. It actually says in the New Testament that the Spirit is what regenerates your heart, convicts you of sin, regenerates your heart, and then comes and lives inside of you. Okay? That's the salvation, the soteriological element of the Holy Spirit, if I'm going to use a word that just means salvation. Okay? The Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, then you have the Holy Spirit, period. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not a Christian. It's that simple, okay? The Bible prophesies that that's what's going to happen. But the other part, the other function of what the Spirit is doing in the New Testament is empowering people for the work of ministry. They're not doing it alone. It's a team sport with Jesus. Oh, what's up, dude? Good to see you. It's a team sport with Jesus, okay? And so both of these things are happening. It's really important for you guys to see this. Okay, so right now I'm watching Band of Brothers. I watch it every year because it's the greatest TV show ever made. So I watch it every year. And if you haven't seen it, it's a story about a paratrooper company in World War II. Okay, and it just follows them. It's really interviews the guys who are actually in it, follows them, and it reenacts it, right? And in so many times, both in Band of Brothers and just in war in general, like they'll come up to a city, and it's like, you know, they're paratroopers. They just got like a rifle, and here they are in front of the city, and there's like all these tanks, this German, I mean, it's just unbeatable for them. And then somebody will say, "Don't go in, dude. Wait for your tanks to show up." Or they say, "Dude, wait for the sky to clear up, and the Air Force is going to come. And everything's going to change. Don't go. What are you going to do? Shoot that tank?" Okay? This is, guys, by the way, this is why, to bring it back to ministry, this is why we don't have visions for our lives that we can accomplish on our own. I mean, talk about insulting to God. Like, if you have a vision for your life, there's things that you want to see that you could make happen on your own. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And it's insulting to the God of glory. He's walking with you to wow you, to lead you into worship, and to do what he's come to do. We need visions for our lives that honor the Creator God who comes with us and comes behind us and comes alongside us. It's the same thing with Band of Brothers. They need to wait. If you guys just wait for these more powerful partners, the Air Force, dude, you want to take the city or you just want to call the Air Force? What's easier? You want artillery and Air Force or you want to go in yourself? Okay? It's just like football, okay? It's like football. If you hand the ball to a running back, and the running back doesn't wait for his blockers, okay? If he waits for his blockers, these big 350-pound guys come and they push away the guy who's supposed to tackle him. And the running back, boom, a hole opens up the size of the sky. A hole opens up so big for them to run through, your grandma could take a walker through that hole, bro. If you just wait for the Holy Spirit to come and do his work, okay? This is what we're talking about with partnership with the Holy Spirit. He changes everything. He changes everything. And so why would we not want to do life? Why would we not want to do ministry with partnership with the Holy Spirit? Why would we not want to make disciples, raise kids, do our jobs, see the city saved, evangelize the lost? Why would we ever want to do that without the Holy Spirit? I mean, it's the difference. It's the difference between the power of God and not the power of God. You want to see things far beyond you could ever imagine? Or you want to see a light beer life? What do you want? Hopefully what you want is to walk with the Spirit of God. So you're like, okay, God, I see Old Testament, New Testament, you show me, Adam. The Holy Spirit, God uses the Holy Spirit to empower people for the work of ministry. But what's he do? What does he want? What does the Holy Spirit want to go out there and do? What's important to him? I'm going to give you two categories. This is my second point, right? Two categories of things that the Holy Spirit does. In the church age, in the new covenant, the new covenant that Jesus has brought by his death and his resurrection. Okay? This is what the Holy Spirit, I think, there's two general categories of what he loves to do. Here's the first thing: building up the body of believers. This is one of the primary things the Holy Spirit loves. It says this, so here's the text for you, ready? 1 Corinthians 12:4-11 says this. This is Paul writing to a church in Corinth. And look at what he says about the Holy Spirit. "Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service," and guys, that word service, ministry, you could translate it ministry. "There are a variety of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." See that? Why does God give a manifestation of the Spirit to different people differently? For the common good. That's a blessing to you, but perhaps more centrally, it's a blessing to others, your gifts. "To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by the one and same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills." This is that body metaphor. Our gifts are different. The Spirit does different things in each one of us. And put together, it looks way more beautiful than if one person could do it all. Okay? The Spirit loves building up the body of believers, building up the church. He gives his gifts for the common good and the glory of God, not just for you. This is central, the loving of others, guys. I mean, Jesus says, by this all people will know you're my disciples, if you have love for one another, right? The Spirit loves when Christians love their brothers and sisters and build them up, okay? And by the way, right after this, twice Paul encourages the Corinthian believers to ask for what he calls the greater gifts. So he says, ask for the greater gifts. What does he mean by greater? Well, the way he ranks them is by their functionality and how much they bless other people. Okay? So the greater gifts for him are the ones that bring the most benefit to the body. And he says, ask for them. Ask for those gifts. It's a command in Scripture. Okay? Now, let me give an example of this. An example of how the Spirit loves to use or loves to do work when believers are building one another up. This happened 3 weeks ago. So Joni, my wife, down there with the kids, for a while now, probably for 10 to 15 years, God has given her dreams about all kinds of stuff. And one of the things that God gives her dreams about is other Christians and stuff they're going through. Okay, so this has happened before where she had a dream about someone and she tells me about it. Hey, I had this dream that this was happening to them. And the first time this happened, I was like, okay, let me talk to him. Maybe this is from God, right? This is before we had seen this. And sure enough, I go to this guy and I'm like, hey, how you doing, dude? And he just folds like a domino, dude, weeping. I'm doing terribly. Tells me everything that's going on. Oh, wow. Okay. Spirit was right. Spirit wanted us to come and encourage this believer. That was years ago. The one that 3 weeks ago, Joni gets a dream about a friend of ours from college that we both knew. Amazing dude. Loves God. Worked for the church for a while. But I haven't talked to him in years. And Joni gets a dream. She's like, hey, had this dream about this guy, and I think it's from God. And this is what happens. This is what he's like struggling with. And I'm listening to it, and I'm like, that sounds like it's from God. And immediately I start to freak because that means that I need to talk to him. And I'm like, I haven't talked to this guy in years. And I'm like already super uncomfortable because I was closer with the previous guy that this had happened with. This guy, I know him. I love him. He loves me. But we hadn't talked in years. And I'm literally about to go up to him and be like, hey, so my wife had a dream about you. You know what I mean? So nonetheless, I text him and I'm like, yo, can we chat? And he's like, just started a company. And he goes, yeah, let me send you to my secretary. I was like, okay. Send me to a secretary, books me a call 6 weeks out. Okay? The day comes, this was 3 weeks ago. I get on the video call with him. And as soon as I see him, I can tell he's not doing good. I'm like, ooh. And we start talking about his startup, talking about life. He's only given me 30 minutes. That's what the slot he gave me. And I'm like, hey, so I wanted to just, you know, the reason I originally wanted to call you, I just wanted to talk about your startup, what you're doing. But something else happened I need to talk to you about. I'm like freaking. It's like my Friday, the last thing I want to do, right? And, but I just feel like it's from God. And so I have to be faithful to what God gave Joni, who then gave me, right? So then I go, hey, so sometimes God gives Joni dreams. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, and you know, I'm not saying she had a dream about you, and I don't know if it's from God, but I just, you know, because this has been true before, I just wanted to check. I just want to check on you. And in the dream, and I was really vague because I wasn't sure how he was going to take it. Because in the dream, he denies the sin at first in the dream. And so I'm like, so in the dream, you're struggling with something. And he goes, I was really vague. And he looks at me like, oh, I was like, so is there anything that's going on? And then he kind of is like got this weird look on his face. And then he tells me about something really gnarly that happened. And just recently. And I was like, oh man. And so I'm like encouraging him. And then I'm like, and once I saw that he was open to it, then I was like, I gave him the specifics. I was like, hey, so in the dream, you were doing this and then you did this. And his eyes get wide as quarters. And he's looking at me, and he starts to cry. And I'm like, oh, There's the Spirit of God helping one believer love, show love to another believer. This is what he loves to do. He gives gifts to the body to build each other up. I'm thinking this in my mind. And he's looking at me like, I am so glad that you said this to me. He's like, I feel God. I feel God speaking to me. And he's like, through tears. It's the last, and I found out this is his last day before he takes a month off. I'm like his second to last call. And I got to get off in five. He's got to get off in 5 minutes. And I'm like, I was like, you got to jump in 5 minutes, right? He's like, I mean, yeah, but that call does not matter at all. And he was just like so stunned that the Spirit of God would speak to this random girl who also loves God, who would then speak to me, who would then speak to him and reveal to him, hey, I see what you're going through and I care. Rattled his cage, man. Filled him with emotion, just an incredible experience of the love of God who knows his every move, who cares about him. And he starts to melt. And then, but we're running out of time. So I said to him, hey, I know you got to jump, but if you want to chat, and it sounds like you're taking a month off, I got time for you, bro. And he was like, I'd like that. Then he hangs up. The Spirit of God loves to build up other believers. So you want to go where the Spirit's going, then love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Because the Spirit of God loves that. That's the first thing. Second general category that the Spirit of God does is reaching the lost. The Spirit of God convicts sinners of sin and testifies to who Jesus is. He loves reaching the lost. That text that we read, Acts 1, 4 through 8, where Jesus is like, wait in the city. Look at what he says here in verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Why are you receiving power, disciples? To be my witnesses. This is why, guys, I mean, the stories that you hear from cutting-edge mission fields and countries filled with people who haven't heard, this is why they write books and the dude's life is crazier than Paul. Because the Spirit of God is out there reaching people with the love of Christ. The Spirit of God loves reaching the lost. You will receive power to be my witnesses. Not just for your own fun, your own glory. Like, God is saving people. The Spirit is saving people. For example, one time when I was 19, I think I've told some of you guys this story. One time when I was 19, I got on a plane. I was going from Oakland, California to LA, going back to school. And I'm reading this Christian fiction book about spiritual warfare. It's an okay book. I'm not going to tell you what it was. And I'm flying, and the flight is like 45 minutes long. It's not long, because it's NorCal to SoCal. I sit next to this woman, looked like she was in her mid-30s. I was 19, remember. And I look at the book she's reading, and it's like, this is back before 2012 it happened. Everyone thought the world was going to end in 2012. Turns out it didn't. She got this book about how it's like the shaman's guide to the end of the world in 2012. And I see the book, and I had the weirdest thing happens to me. I feel this like, it felt like an electric pulse went from the top of my head down my back. And I knew, just supernaturally, that I had to share the gospel with her. And I freaked. Because I was so confident that that's what God was telling me to do. And I started to freak, be like, what if I don't do it? What if I just disobey? Because I don't want to do this, right? Because I hadn't really done that before. I mean, people have forced me to do it. Hey, come to the thing, talk to the people. But like on my own volition, I hadn't done it. Sitting next to her, and she falls asleep. And it's like 45-minute flight. And so like 20 minutes later, the pilot's like, we're beginning our descent. And I'm like, crap. Because I don't want to miss my chance. So I did what any moronic 19-year-old would do. And I shook her awake. I was like, whoop, and I shook her. I know, I was 19, okay. And then she wakes up, and she looks at me. And I was like, hey, you know, like what? And then I was just immediately like, what are you reading? You know, I didn't know what to do. But I knew that God wanted to say something to her. And she's like, oh, and she's like, immediately, like so gracious, just starts telling me. Like this 19-year-old just didn't shake you awake, you know. And so she's telling me about the book, and then God gives me a door, opens up wide as day. She goes, Yeah, I mean, he thinks this is going to happen in 2012. It's kind of like, have you ever read the book of Revelation from the Bible? And I was like, yes, I have read that book. In fact, I have something that I want to share with you. She's like, what? I was like, you're going to think this is really weird, but this is why I wanted to talk to you. And you're probably just going to think it's really weird. And she goes, no, I can do weird. And I was like, okay. And then she goes, I said, I was sitting here and I felt God speak to me that I needed to tell you about the good news of Jesus. And she goes, what? And I was like, I'm going to jail. I was literally freaking out, dude. And then I was like, yeah, I feel that. Sorry. And she goes, are you serious? And I was like, yeah, why? And she goes, because before I got on this plane, I was waiting in the terminal and I was reading this book and I was so mad because there's so many books out there claiming all these random things. And I was so mad because, like, how am I supposed to know? How am I supposed to know this or this or that or that? And I was frustrated. And so I called out to whatever was out there. I said, God, whoever you are, reveal yourself to me so that I know. And I was like, oh, okay, you ready? And she was like, yep. And I was like, okay. I was like, you know, who even knows that? This is probably the worst gospel presentation the world's ever seen. And I start sharing verse and this and Jesus that and this is in sin. And he came in, free gift, all this stuff, right? And she's like whipped out her journal, like, because she just prayed, God, reveal yourself to me. Some 19-year-old's like, I got it. You ready? Like, what? The Spirit of God loves to seek and save the lost. You get your boat in the water and you partner with the Spirit towards loving the fellow believers and reaching the lost. You better be ready for the wind to blow. You better be ready for the Spirit to do some amazing and wild things. I mean, think about this. Think about if you were trying to do all these things on your own, right? Maybe you get a win and you're like, tight, I rock. What if you get no wins? But then the power of God breaks open and saves people. The power of God breaks open and brings fruit into an area of your life that you never had before, such that you can't claim any credit and you know it. And you know it. This is why partnership with the Spirit is so amazing. It humbles you. He wants to do that. He wants you to be like, okay, try, I love it, I'm honored, I'm glorified, I'm honored when you try, and you can't do it. Watch, see, told you couldn't do it. Now watch this. Spirit of God, poof, spirit bomb. Does something that you could never do. The Spirit of God loves that. He loves building up the body of believers. He loves reaching the lost. You want to see the Spirit poured out in power? Are you doing the things the Spirit loves? Are you doing the things the Spirit loves? Last thing, the obvious question. How do we walk in greater partnership with the Spirit then? Okay, I see that God pours out His Spirit on people for the work of ministry, Old Testament, New Testament. Okay, see it? I see that the Spirit of God loves seeking and saving the lost. I see that He loves when believers serve and love one another. So how do I get more of this? I know that I have the Spirit of God. The Bible tells me I already have that. But how do I walk in greater partnership with Him? Such that I see in the book of Acts, where every 50 verses, it's like, and then, filled with the Spirit, this person did this amazing thing and the Spirit of God did it, right? How do I see that in my life? How do we walk in greater partnership with the Spirit? I got three really basic things. Simple guy. Ready? Thing number one, be humble and flexible. John 3:8 says this. This is Jesus talking about the Spirit. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Here's the point, guys. The Spirit of God is sovereign. And you got great ideas for ministry. You got great ideas and visions of things that you want to see and do. And honestly, probably a lot of them, probably most of them, awesome things. And sometimes the Spirit just wants to do something a little different. You think I wanted the Spirit of God to speak to me on that plane and have me evangelize? I wasn't in my plan, dude. But you got to be flexible. You got to be ready to submit. You got to be ready to bow down with humility. Okay, yeah, you're God, I'm not. Okay, you got the plan, I'm here. I'm here for the show, man. I'm here for you. What do you got? What's the play call, God? You got to be flexible. You got to be humble. When Joni, 3 weeks ago, was like, I had a dream about someone, and I think it's from God. I was like, okay, what is it? I had to be flexible. And here I am getting on this video call with this guy I haven't talked to in years, about to be like, hey, my wife had a dream about you, bro. You ready? I mean, what? That was not in my weekend plan. You got to be humble. You got to be flexible, because the wind's going to blow where the wind wants to blow. Same word as spirit. Wind, spirit, translated the same way in English from the Greek. That's what he's like. That's what the Spirit of God is like. He's got a mission, dude. He's doing stuff, and we want to go with him. We want to be obedient and go and do the things we think he's called us to do. And then when we see him moving, we want to roll with him, because he's God and we're not. And he knows all things. Be humble and flexible. Thing number two, don't quench. This comes from 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 22. Quench, he says at the end in this text, he says, don't quench the Spirit. Quench means to extinguish, to put out. Okay? And Paul is telling the Thessalonian Christians, don't quench the Spirit. And right after he says that, he says, abstain from evil. Because you know, nothing extinguishes the work of the Spirit in your life like habitual, unrepentant sin that you haven't brought to light. Okay? Guys, the Christian life is filled. You should be repenting every day. When Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the door at Wittenberg, the first thing on there was all of life is repentance. Nobody here is perfect. We all have sin in our lives, but the point is we need to repent. The point is we need to hear, listen from our brothers and sisters, listen to the Word of God, listen to the Spirit of God, and respond in repentance. Okay? I did it probably three or four times in the last 48 hours. Don't quench the Spirit, which means don't extinguish or put it out. And guys, if you can quench the Spirit, what's on the opposite side of that? Partnership. You can do the things that the Spirit loves. You can pursue the things in partnership with the Spirit. You can grow in holiness. Remember the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These are fruit. These are evidences that the Spirit of God is at work in your life. You're walking into those things, putting off the old self, putting on the new, walking into those things. That's partnership with God's Spirit. You're preaching the gospel to the lost, the partnership with God's Spirit. You're working your job to the glory of God with integrity, with generosity, building relationships with coworkers, eventually getting the opportunity to share the gospel. That is dead center what the Spirit loves. You want to partner with him? Do the things that the Spirit loves. Be humble and flexible. Don't quench. And here's the last one. Ask and pray. It's the last text, Luke 11, 9 through 13. This is Jesus. Context, right before this, one of his disciples was like, Jesus, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray, Jesus. So Jesus teaches him the Lord's Prayer, and then he breaks out into this little commentary. This is what he says, Luke 11, 9 through 13. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He's saying this to disciples, his followers. You can ask for the Holy Spirit. And again, I'm not talking about salvation, guys. You, if you follow Jesus, you believe on him in faith, you already have the Spirit. So what's Jesus talking about? I think he's talking about partnership. When you look through Acts, when you look at Jesus' own ministry, when you look at the ministry of the disciples, when you look at all these people walking in faith with the power of God behind them, such that they get to do and see things they never would have gotten to do or see, because God loves them and he loves the world. The Spirit saves you. And he wants to partner with you for the work of ministry. He wants to be your airstrike, bro. He wants to go out ahead of you and do stuff that you ain't never thought you'd see. So, that's all I got. Now, I've been waiting months to do this next part. Paul, you want to come up? If you want to start to get ready for the third set here. So, this is what I'm going to do. I scripted a prayer. I wrote out a little prayer over there. And what I want to give you guys the opportunity for, again, so 100% voluntary. 100% voluntary. What I want to give you guys the opportunity for in this scripted prayer, what I'm asking for is for God to bless your work, bless your ministry, bless your service with special partnership from the Holy Spirit, like you see in Acts. In this scripted prayer, I ask for that. This is our chance to obey Luke 11. How much more will God give good gifts to those who ask of His Holy Spirit? This is our chance, just a baby step, to be obedient to that. This is our chance to be obedient to Luke 11 and follow the pattern, I believe, the disciples in Acts. So, I'm going to pray that scripted prayer for anyone who wants. I'm going to be standing back there. And here's the other thing I'm going to do, if you're open to it. I'm going to anoint you with oil. Okay? Here's where this comes from. The word anoint literally means to smear liquid. That's what the word means. In the Old Testament, there's three groups of people that get anointed. Prophets, priests, and kings. And what anointing symbolizes for them is a commissioning to the work God has called them to. Okay? That's the Old Testament anointing. In the New Testament, it changes the verbiage a little bit. It uses the word anointing, but what it says is, if you're a believer, that God anoints you with His Spirit. And that comes into your heart as a guarantee. It's a down payment, it says. You get anointed with the Holy Spirit. So what I'm going to do is, if you're open to it, I want to anoint you as a reminder that God's Spirit's already in you. And also as a commissioning. As the New Testament says that you're priests in God's priesthood, right? All believers are that. And as a commissioning for the work God has called you to. And as a blessing. And if you want, in line with the whole don't quench thing, if there's anything you want to confess to, I'm here for that as well. Always here for that. So, Paul is going to play the last three songs here. And I'm just going to go stand back there. And anyone who wants me to pray that prayer and receive that anointing, which is symbolic in the ways that I described, would love for you to do that. Totally voluntary. Thanks.